Now, a note from our sponsor. I've always wanted to say that like a real broadcaster. You've heard me talk about our friends at Joseph's Finest Meats, how I drive or how Betty drives across Indiana and Chicago and Illinois to get their finest sausage. They're at 7101 West Addison, Chicago, home of USDA prime aged beef, real aged beef, homemade sausage, and only the finest meats, plus imported Italian delicacies like one thing that you can't live without, provolone, the sharp kind. You have to have good provolone to have a sandwich. And now I hear about something else at Joseph's Finest Meats, the barbecue sauce. Jeff Carlin tells me the barbecue sauce is simply outstanding. Now I've got another reason to go there. Do yourselves a favor. Make your way over to the Dunning neighborhood over on Addison and Nordica, just two or three blocks east of Harlem Avenue on the northwest side of Chicago, and have yourself a truly great shopping butcher experience. I should know. I grew up in a butcher shop just like this. I worked for a man who was just like Joe. And tell the brothers Ben and Sal that John says hi. Joseph's Finest Meats, a family tradition since 1977, and a proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. I'm thinking about Russian roulette. I've never played it. I've never been locked in a Vietnamese prison to play it. I've never been a Hollywood actor to play it. All this is theatrics, Russian roulette. The idea is one bullet, spin the chamber, and see if you win or lose. I don't know if you win anything, but if you play it for real, in politics, you win power. Because we're seeing a game of Russian roulette played with our children, with our loved ones. Every time your daughter goes in a car, drives, every time your son goes to a practice and drives, every time your wife come home from work and is driving, they're playing Russian roulette. Because 20 million illegals were let in by the Democrats and Joe Biden. Why? They wanted to build a census number of residents in each city, in each state, and they dangle welfare and other state benefits taken from you, dangled out in front of the migrants and say, come here, come to Illinois. Why? Because they're trying to build a census number to have power in the census count for congressional districts. The more people they have, citizens or not citizens, the more power they have, the more Democrats they can elect. But, you know, there's a cost. And the cost is people dying, like Katie Abram. You're going to hear from her father, Joe Abram. I've written about him in the past, and now he's back on a podcast with us. Joe Abram talking about his daughter, Katie. And Jeff Carlin is here, as always. Jeff is the best producer in radio. My friend, executive producer of WGN Radio. And I'm John Cass, editor-in-chief of johncassnews.com, where you always get a good cup of Midwestern common sense. So let's pour some out now with Joe Abram. He's dealing with the silence of a father's grief on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall-style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way, that's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
We've asked Joe Abraham here to be with us on the Chicago Way. And I want him to tell the story of Katie, and I want him to tell us his story. Joe?
Thanks for having me. And so on January 19th of this year, 2025, my 20-year-old daughter, who's actually my youngest daughter, I've got three kids. Katie's my youngest. A friend of hers came in to town, and they took the Amtrak down to Urbana to visit some friends at University of Illinois. There were five of them in the car. They were out that night, five in the car. Katie was in the back seat on the driver's side. So that night, an SUV, they were estimating at 78 miles an hour, struck the rear driver's side of the Honda Civic that the five girls were in. So this driver, Julio Cuco Bol, was also using a Mexican national alias that the federal marshals or U.S. marshals even knew about. When you talk about couldn't have been in, this was an easy vetting process. He should have never been here. Already deported, came back under an alias, Juan Suarez, from a Mexican alias. He was a Guatemalan national. He struck the vehicle, right? Driver's side, full force, no braking, no swerving, nothing, right? Katie died on the scene within 20 minutes of the accident. And then her friend that they went down to visit to the University of Illinois died the next day in the hospital. Cuco Bol, the character, here are the folks that the politicians are standing behind, right? He clearly could have been vetted out of this state. He showed his true character when he struck these five women, young girls. His first instinct was to turn and run. He didn't call 911. He certainly didn't wait around for the first responders to help them understand what happened and how maybe they could help in any way, right? And he didn't try to render any aid or anything to the girls, but the only thing he did was he turned tail and ran. So it's very frustrating to me because here's one person that created misery for five families. And he was such an easy person, if he had any type of a front-end audit process, would not be in Illinois, regardless of what the federal government was doing. If Joe Biden, well, I don't want to say Joe Biden, I don't think it was really Joe Biden running anything, but if they allowed 20 million in, does that mean the state of Illinois has to accept whatever he accepted? Or do you put a vetting process and pull in people that make sense to pull in? So that's sort of where my frustration lies with the state of Illinois.
Well, if you're looking for numbers to boost your numbers for the congressional map, you're going to want as many illegals as you can because everyone else is leaving. And so you're going to dangle, I'll take money from you, from your family, and give it to the others in the form of welfare and welfare benefits and other bait that I'm trying to catch those fish because I want them to be here for the census.
That's so frustrating to me. Again, there's no principle there. There's just no.
There is a principle. It's called winning. That's all they care about.
It's awful. And I'm sorry, Illinois is so mismanaged and misrun. And by the way, in this congressional hearing I was at, I thought I was living in some paradise the way the governor and his allies were talking about what Illinois is all about, because I've lived here all my life, born here, lived here all my life. This is not the same Illinois I was hearing in this committee hearing. It's amazing how they can just sort of spout out things that just aren't true. But I'm sorry that you've mismanaged the state so badly that 500,000 people are leaving, right? And no one else is coming in because who wants to be here? And then so now you got to backfill it with folks that probably shouldn't be standing behind.
We kind of got this, the basics could have been done. It's just the sheer basics is, if someone isn't going to go through the effort to become a citizen here, the least we can do is say, well, they're probably not a good person. Why are we allowing them to be on the streets, right? I mean, this guy had been picked up or at least stopped once before. He'd been a part of the system. He'd been in and out. He's been deported once before. And it reeks of negligence, raw negligence. And, the recourse there is what, right, Joe? I mean, there's nothing for your family can do except, grieve and try to fill this void. What if anything was said to you at this? And for those who don't know, you went to the DC to be part of a hearing that was explaining, you know, the impact. The federal government saying, hey, you know, Illinois, be accountable. You're letting your citizens die, and for what? And what did they say to you?
Yeah, so we were Chairman Comer's guests at the Oversight Committee back in June on sanctuary policies. It was Governor Pritzker, Governor Walz, and Governor Hochul from New York. No one said anything to me other than I'd say the Republican side, Mary Miller, who's a representative in the district that Katie died in. She was great. She really sort of handed Governor Pritzker's handed his hat to him. It was great to hear. But no one said anything to me around this topic at all. Again, the silence was so deafening. It's hurting my ears.
So you're sitting in a hearing, you know, feet. You're in the same room as these people. We're talking, you know, the Chewies of the Chewy Garcias of the world, Jan Schakowskis, the Jimmy Priskers, and none of them came up to you to say, you know, the politics aside, I can't believe you know, we're here. My deepest sympathies. None of that came from anyone in this.
No. Yeah, exactly right. And Jan Schakowsky, who's my congresswoman,
right,
literally walked by me half a dozen times, didn't even acknowledge it. And I can't, you know, I can't understand. Like, you can't say, oh, I didn't know that this was Joe Abraham. I mean, Chairman Comer had pictures up everywhere, big poster board pictures.
I'm looking at one of the pictures that I used in my column about this, a broken father, a broken nation. And the picture, you're up there on a big picture on the screen next to Chairman Comer, of you and Katie, and you're both in a happy, you're both smiling. And then there's another picture of her. Like, these are 3 by 5 feet large posters. Yeah. And you're looking, you're Katie smiling. She's in her graduation gown. And I'm thinking, why didn't they even stop and say, man to man, like Pritzker, man to man, sir, I'm sorry. Sir, I'm sorry you lost your daughter. I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
Why did they even acknowledge anything?
Nothing. Not even looked at didn't even look my way. I was an annoyance. I felt uncomfortable, like I shouldn't be here. This guy is like so annoyed that I'm here and he's telling my story. Like Chairman Comer's telling my story. It's so frustrating. Because let me tell you, the difference here is you can say whatever you want about Trump. He's using this, whatever. He looked me in the eye. And he said, I'm sorry, things are basically out of control. He, man to man, okay? J.B. Pritzker didn't even acknowledge me. And look, I don't want an I'm sorry for him, or I know it's not sincere, but what I would have liked is literally just some acknowledgement. Hey, things sort of got out of control. We're going to try to, like, you know, for the sake of Katie's of the world, we're going to try to do better, right? And not just, but they don't. They double and triple and quadruple down. I just fear that Katie clearly isn't the only victim of this, but I worry that there'll be more.
Oh, there certainly will be. The people are here, you know, and we were kind of got into this before we started recording here, but you know, what's the premise, right? People are becoming fleeing terrible situations, and we, the U.S. government, want to be open arms. And this is the Democrats' premises, to be open arms and take them in and be the biggest, best country in the world. Oh, and by the way, we're going to pad our numbers, and, you know, that's the real reason. That if you're going to play one side, you got to play both sides. You know, you can see be sympathetic towards these people coming here, but not to the damage that they're causing. Like, Joe, I mean, you're the type of person that seems very reasonable. This guy was a ne'er-do-well and was here for the wrong reasons. We're not talking about people who are coming here the right way or trying to come here or fleeing whatever, you know, a horrible thing and say, oh, no, forget that. You might cause some problem. We're talking about people who are only here to do bad things, and they somehow stand behind him. I mean, what arguments are you hearing? What, if anything, you've heard from people who are defending this guy or any of the situation that makes your blood boil? Because I assume you hear it in media everywhere, and it just has to make you nuts.
It definitely makes me nuts, right, sometimes. I mean, you hear some things like citizens cause more damage, or would you feel better if it was a white guy that did? I mean, it's like just nonsensical things that just, again, it's not serious. So I know it's frustrating, but I don't take that serious because these are not serious people that say nonsensical things like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it's not a, it's this false choice they give you. Either we're going to help people or we're not. No, that's not necessarily the case, because to your point, Cuckoo Ball was not a productive person. He wasn't here doing the right things. He was using our state as a playground for himself. And, you know, part of the frustration, too, is that my tax dollars went sort of to help fund Katie's death, I guess. You could call it that, right? They're using my tax dollars over the decades that I've been paying into this state to do what exactly? I'm not even sure. I just know that part of the frustration is we had this social bargain that you do the right things. And, you know, the bare minimum the state can at least do is protect its citizens. But apparently our politicians feel like, you know, the citizens, legal immigration and illegal migrants, it's all the same. We're just all residents and there's no distinction, which is, again, another very frustrating thing for me.
We've been through this before. I want you to think back to 1994, if you can. The media protecting a certain politician, but this was a Republican. His name was George Ryan. The family wasn't the Abram family. It was another family. They were the Willis family. And six of their children were burned to death alive in a van after a crash with an illegal truck driver who shouldn't have been here. He couldn't speak English. He shouldn't have been on the road. And yet he was. His name was Ricardo Guzman. I'm not saying he was an illegal alien. I don't know. I think he was illegally on the driver's license lists because he shouldn't have been there. He couldn't have understood what people were saying to him in English. They were warning him about something under his truck and he wouldn't talk. He didn't even acknowledge it. Anybody remember them?
I mean, yeah, one of the, you know, the long list of governors of Illinois who wound up going to jail because of situations. And you'd want to believe that. You know, that was a direct nexus, right? The program cash for licenses and look the other way. But how is it? Yeah. How is that any different than saying, oh, we're an open sanctuary state. You know, hey, if you're coming to this country illegally and trying to skirt the law, come here, be our guest, be our guest, roll out the red carpet for you. How is that any different? How is there no one going to be held accountable for that? And it's. Yeah, it's not. I mean, Joe, there's nothing you guys can do, right? I mean, you guys are just left to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, no one really. Yeah, it's exactly right. And I do remember that in 1994, and that was such a tragedy. And he should have gone to jail. I mean,
yeah,
there's no excuse for that. You know, it's interesting that in the hearing, one of the inconsistencies I heard was of many inconsistencies. Was that JB would point at sort of the Republicans and yell, do your job, secure the border, you know. But I don't think he makes a connection that says, oh, by the way, while you're doing your job and securing the border, I'm drawing as many as I can because I'm putting a welcome mat out to any and every illegal alien, productive, unproductive, criminal, not criminal. And then, you know, those policies are driving people to the border. So yeah, in a way you're yelling, do your job, secure the border, but you're part of that problem because you do not make that connection that you put this sign out that says everyone is welcome here in Illinois and we are gonna treat you just like we treat a citizen, which okay, we can argue about that. But this is the problem. So it's like do we just say things and it doesn't really matter, or the words not matter? Then the connection not being made that I'm part of the problem, but then I'm yelling at someone to say, fix the problem I'm creating. It was beyond like comprehension for me, honestly. I mean, nothing made sense to me. It really didn't.
You talked about, I mean, the president saying, you know, coming to you and giving his sympathies is what you expect. And I just can't get away from this that, you know, you said your family's been here. I mean, how long you've been here your whole life, Joe. I'm assuming your parents were part in Illinois before you. That's usually how it works. You're a citizen who's raising your kids. Kids are going to school. I mean, doing everything the right way and nothing. I mean, crickets from those around you and it's their fault. I mean, obviously they didn't make this guy a jackass and, you know, an alcoholic or whatever and do bad things and flee. But they built the picnic. They laid out the blanket. They put the food out. They got him here. And still nothing. I mean, nothing from anybody.
Even worse, they took the food from Joe and Jeff Carlin and John Cass and other everyone who's listening. And they set up a banquet for illegals to come. They took the food from us. They set up the banquet. And then some of them actually killed people, as you know, from all the news stories about gang members, Trendale, Gragua, on and on, on and on. The vast majority of migrants want to live here peacefully, but just like our parents. But there are those who didn't and who don't, and they shouldn't have been here in the first place. And it's a why is it Joe's responsibility to point it out? I don't know.
Perfectly said, because that's been my whole point. And Jeff, you're right. My parents came here in the 60s, 1960s. We've been here all our lives, right? Illinois is the only state we know. So, and John, you said it right. And that's kind of where I sometimes it just strikes such a nerve for me, because one of the things that eats me at night is that I help fund Katie's death.
Mm.
And there's nothing I can do.
Let's say we locked you in a room with your representative, Jan Schakowsky. I mean, what would you don't hold back, but what would you tell her? Because she's gone her way out. You know, she's not running. She's done. What would you say? I mean, where would lay it on her? I mean, she's here.
Well, I mean, what I would say is that no death is worth your power, right? Have some principle, have some pride. Do not sacrifice and create collateral damage because you want a couple extra seats in Congress. That's not good enough. That's not creating a positive place in this state. I living here all my life, I would tell her that I am now considering to get out of Illinois. I've been productive. I've been good. I've been law abiding. And now I don't want to be here anymore because of how you guys mismanage this state. You can go around all you want and brag about how you've balanced a budget here and did this, and you haven't. And that's just a complete, utter lie. And that's why hundreds of thousands of people are leaving this state. And it really irks me because I consider this my state as well. But now I cannot even feel like I can stay here anymore. Can you imagine? We've been here since, my family's been here since the 1960s, and we don't even know the state anymore. And why did they get to run everything? And why do they not suffer the consequences of their own policies? I guarantee you their children sleep well at night. I guarantee you they're sleeping well at night. I'm not. I got a life sentence, by the way. I got a life sentence. Katie got death. Me and my family have a life sentence. And not only that, Jeff, I would tell her, not only did you kill Katie, or maybe not personally, but certainly you were a part of it, but you killed Katie's kids, my grandkids. You killed her kids' kids, my great-grandkids. You killed her legacy. It has stopped. Katie's life, she has stopped. She will never, never, she's gone. So tell me how being sanctuary is safer for all of us and the right thing to do, not auditing anybody. To me, it does not make sense. And I see these folks out there who never had to bury a child or a loved one yelling about this immigrant or that immigrant, and then it comes back later that they're nothing but criminal. It's so mind-boggling to me what's happening. And I got to give Trump, as much as you want to say this or that, and I'm not judging him as a person or politician, but in a way, I feel like what's frustrating for me as a family of immigrants, they have created over the last 5 years such an environment that the majority of Americans do not want immigration. And that makes me sad. Because we need that. It's the right thing to do if it was done properly. But you so mismanaged that, just like you mismanaged the state, that now you've got everyone turned against you. And you're still battling for the same policies that everyone is turned against. Does that make any sense what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
You asked about how they get away with it. It's really simple. It's terrible to say. But how do they get away with shoving this stuff down the people's throat? Because who helps them? Who shovels it, really? The broken media in this country and in this state, the Tribune, the Sun-Times, WBEZ, all these corporate media places are shoveling this nonsense down their throats. And if you question it, they will send people out to say, oh, Joe Abram, are you anti-migrant? Are you against what your parents and ancestors did? Are you against that? They'll twist it on you, won't they?
I'm sure they will, and it's nonsense because, again, it's a false choice.
Yeah.
What you've done, I would tell them, what you've done, if you would have followed my model, we'd have as many migrants coming in here as you want. You want 20 million a year, set up the right process and get 20 million in here a year. I'm all for it. I'm good with migrants coming in here. What I'm not good about is what you've done in the last 5 years. And that you should look in the mirror, I would tell them, and you've created this environment. Okay. You're crying about ICE agents, this, that, and the other. You've created this environment. Now you're crying about it. You can't have both. You can't have it both ways.
But Joe, when your father came to this country, and mine did, there was no welfare for Greeks or Iraqis.
No.
There was no like, hey, would you like to come to this country and get on welfare?
No.
There was none of that.
No. But John, my dad would have never accepted that.
Mine neither.
Yeah. When he came here for the right reasons. He wanted to be in America. He wanted to be an American, right? He believed in what was happening here back then. Right, compared to where he came from in the Middle East, right?
So, what would he be saying now about Katie?
God rest his soul. I am glad that he passed before Katie did. Katie is one of these, such a unique personality. She was, I wish the politicians knew Katie because they may have a different perspective. But my dad and Katie were so alike. He loved her so much. And I'm the one grateful thing. Well, I shouldn't even say grateful. I'm glad my dad didn't see what would have happened because I don't know what he would have done. But by the way, my dad passed away December 26, 2024, and Katie was killed December 2024, and then Katie passed away on January 9th. Was killed on January 19th. So I had like a 3 week period. I lost my dad. Sure. I lost my daughter. So I can't even mourn my dad.
Right.
Thanks to Illinois policy. I can't even mourn my dad. I couldn't. How do you mourn your dad when you lost your daughter?
Jeez, Joe, I'm so sorry. And the hypocrisy is what I'm reading. Is it, you know, the left that want these policies and have made the situation and are crying about it, as you said. You know, the hypocrisy there is that they want to take in, quote, refugees, but they're creating refugees. They're people who are refugees in their own state now because, like you said, you don't want to be here.
You're
there's no reason
to
be here. Right. Well, yeah, John.
I'm a refugee. I had to leave my home.
Right. And that hypocrisy is going to lead to the end of this, you know, the demise of the state. As much as they want to bring people in and do whatever they can, it's not going to work. It's not going to be enough. And it's going to be another never-ending march of, unfortunately, Abram families who are dealing with it to pick up the pieces.
But guys, you see those news stories out there where Gavin Newsom or some other politician screaming, all these idiots from Texas Democrats screaming, yelling, you know, we'll get you, we'll change the maps, you'll see what we'll do. And all this is about covering the Democrats building of cases for themselves, for their own power, for the redistricting, for counting illegals in the census. Do people get it? Do people understand what this, you know, we're talking to Joe about his daughter, but do the other people out there get it that this is the reason why people are dying is because of this?
Yeah. And you know, to build that on that a little bit, how creative or how smart or you know, let's say I balanced the budget, which is not true, but let's just say it's true they balanced. But how did you balance the budget? Do we have the highest property taxes in the nation? Probably. Do we have a huge amount that we pay in sales and income tax? Yeah. How about the fees? Probably high, right? So is that your only lever? You go out to the citizens and you know, they talk about this whole gouging. Oh, the corporations are gouging. The oil companies are gouging. Do they ever look in the mirror and say, am I gouging my fellow citizens? Because every time I need something, I go and raise fees and I raise taxes. This is not, I can get a 9-year-old to do that. Hey, we're short. What should we do? Go get money from other people. So this is not a smart, creative way to let's say, even if you did balance a budget, that's not really a fantastic way to do it.
Yeah. And there's a long list of things they're not doing right. And unfortunately, that's just another one of it. I mean, the idea, John, too, I mean, that this is growing or people are knowing or you know, what the real game plan is. Who knows? You have, and we've talked about all the time, is that there's this, you know, generational march towards not asking questions and just being spoon-fed. And, you know, the media out there takes a press release and runs with it. And, oh, hey, look at this great thing. They're doing all this. They want to protect the yada, yada, yada. And at the end of the day, they're not doing anything. I mean, there's no progress in any of these places, you know, to bring down taxes, to make the state more economically sound, to stave off the right way people fleeing the state to move to other places. There's making it worse. And I don't know, you know, I don't know where you go to try to make that change to open people's eyes. I mean, hopefully, you know, unfortunately, it's, if there's a legacy, Joe, for Katie, it's opening someone's eyes. You know, it's not going to be a wholesale change based on your story, but hopefully it's incremental. Hopefully people see what is happening, what the consequences of this poorly even thought out concept is, and realize that this isn't the way to do it. There's a way to do it. There's a right way to do what they want to achieve their goals. And this is the slapstick, you know, slipshod, corner cutting, we'll put people at risk because we want the power way. And it's not, you know, it's not benefiting anybody except for the people that shouldn't be here. And what happens when it goes south for them? They just turn around and flee and leave, and they get slipped through the cracks because the cracks are gigantic and are in place because of the powers that be have put them there. And Joe, I can't put myself in your shoes. I don't have kids. I mean, I'm a citizen, so I see the frustration in that sense, but I my heart just breaks hearing you talk about this. And I really wish you could get in the room with the Schakowskis and the JBs of the world, and they were forced to look you in the eyes and tell you why. And I know that's never going to happen, but I wish there was a day that would.
Yeah. I'm nicely said, because to your point, exactly. If you need 500,000 people or 1 million people or 2 million people to backfill everyone that you created, you know, to your point, the refugees you created that left Illinois and you need backfill, you can still do that the right way, couldn't you? Does it have to be a free-for-all in the Wild West? Could you not have a pretty good, robust process on the front end to at least vet out or make sure folks like the guy who killed Katie, he would have been an easy sort of filter out, right? You don't want someone like that here. And it's not good enough to say, well, if we welcome everyone, everyone's a resident, but if they do wrong, then they will be gotten their due process and they will go through the legal system. But you know, we all kind of know what that's worth, right? Meanwhile, I'm sitting with a life sentence and Katie's dead. So you tell me how I will never get justice in this life. I just, you know, I have faith and I believe there's another life and that's where he'll see his justice. But, you know, again, have the right policies. And if you want to be sanctuary, at least bring in the folks that are here for the right reasons. And none of that's happening. It is the Wild West out there right now.
You know, I think part of the way to discuss this is how much, I don't want to spread guilt to everyone, because, you know, the rest of the people listening to this had nothing to do with Katie's death, but do we have everything to do with being citizens in this country and not appreciating the value of citizenship? Yes, we do. There is a author, writer, thinker. His name is Victor Davis Hanson, and he's wonderful because he doesn't care what you think. He just proceeds to the truth. And Victor Davis Hanson has written a book called The Dying Citizen, about the lack of citizenship, the nature of the dying citizen in this country. And he starts out by telling us what citizenship was like in the ancient world. When you were my family comes from Greece, Joe's family comes from Iraq, but in all that time, all those different places, that different distance, you could say in the ancient days, if you were a Roman citizen, you'd say, I am a citizen. And that meant something. They couldn't just grab you off the street and drag you and handcuff you. A citizen of Rome? That was a serious thing. And I don't know if we don't teach it in schools. We don't teach civics in schools now. The only thing we teach in terms of government is how to get stuff from the government, how to force other people to give you stuff, you know, the Pritzker model. And we don't do the other. And I just think we have to get back to that. I mean, I'm reading it now, talking to Joe the other day from this column. I grabbed that book off my shelf and I started reading it again, because we are, all of us, a dying citizen in this country.
Well, well said, well said. And in Illinois, it's already dead. JB was very clear at the hearing that it's a residence. Doesn't matter if you're a citizen, illegal or not. We're all just residents here of Illinois, and there is no distinction at all.
Unbelievable. And you were up there at that hearing. Were at least the Republicans kind to you? Were they friendly to you?
Yeah, so they were, we met so many folks, I can't remember all of them. I know like Byron Downs, I thought he was a very impressive guy, and we were actually on Laura Ingraham that night. Byron Downs and I were on with Laura Ingraham together. So yeah, we met, Chairman Comer was very gracious, very kind. So we met a bunch of folks on the Republican side. Now, I do got to say, during that committee hearing, not one Democrat did want to talk to me, which unfortunate, because I'll talk to anybody. But I'll tell you, do you guys recall the senator from California who made a big scene in June that day of the hearing out in Kristi Noem was speaking somewhere, and he sort of busted in and they dragged him out or something? Like, you guys remember that?
What's his name? He's a big mouth new guy. Padilla. Senator Padilla?
Yes, that's right. I believe it's Senator Padilla. That's right. Okay. So Senator Padilla, it was interesting because in the early afternoon, the Democratic side came rushing in. They submitted this video. They played it at the hearing. They were railing against the Republicans and Trump on how this is like a Gestapo state. The senator's being dragged off. And I looked at my wife and I said, my goodness, this is a setup. They did this on purpose to derail the hearing. That's exactly what they did, because for an hour and the rest of the hearing, all you heard was, how dare they, you know, even the governors jumped in on that. How dare the Trump administration do? But he didn't even behave. Like, if you watch the video, he didn't behave like a senator. He didn't show up like a senator. He showed up like some hoodlum, really. And then he gets dragged out and then they're shocked. So I just found it really interesting going, looking at my wife saying, wow, I can't believe that they went out of their way to make this kind of a gesture.
You saw how the sausage is made, Joe, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Joe, did Padilla do his stunt during the hearing of your...
Yes. They came in the afternoon. In the afternoon, the Democrats came rushing in with this video to say, look at how irresponsible and authoritarian this regime is, and they made a big issue and derailed the hearing for a little bit. They submitted the video to the hearing. They played the hearing. And, boy, I maybe it wasn't. I'm just saying, call me cynical. I don't know. But I looked at my wife, honestly, and I said, there's no way this is just by happenstance. This is done on purpose.
Just to be clear, Senator Padilla was grabbed in your hearing, or was it another hearing?
No. The video popped, circulated that morning after the hearing started.
Okay.
It happened around the same time, but the video came in. Staffers brought it in, and they were trying to derail the hearing, saying, it doesn't matter. Cares about the illegal
Who cares about this girl? Right.
Look what the Gestapo's doing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I said, boy, look at that. Katie, so some woman died. So what? We got bigger issues, though. And
what about the senator's pride? Yeah, he was scared.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sitting there going, well, wait a minute. My daughter's dead. Are we still going to talk about that and how she died? That place is so unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I'm like,
that's why it's called a Parliament of Horrors. Is not a reason not to go, but that's what it's called.
Oh my goodness. I was just like, what the heck is going on? And then I ran into Governor Walz the night before at dinner. Just ran into
Tampon Tim was at dinner with you? Was he hanging
out? No, not with me. So my wife and I, that Wednesday night, we met a bunch of folks, staffers, Congress folks. And then we just went out to dinner. Her and I, we just said, let's just go to dinner. She picked some place, some restaurant that she knew. And we sat down for dinner. And then who sat down next to us? The table right next to us was Governor Walz, his chief of staff, and a couple other staffers that he had. So I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to see him tomorrow. So I told my wife, we're about to eat, but I'm like, I have to go say hello to him. I just had to go talk to him. So I went up and I said, Governor Walz, I'm Joe Abraham. Just want to let you know, because, again, I have family in Minnesota and he's the governor of Minnesota. And so I spent a lot of my youth in Minnesota just because I have family up there, cousins and that kind of thing. So I said, hey, I want you to know I love Minnesota. Nothing but fond memories from my childhood up there. And, he was sitting there and he's like, yeah, okay, great. Thanks. And I'm like, I suppose I'll see you tomorrow at the hearing as my daughter, Katie Abraham, was killed by an illegal immigrant in a sanctuary city. And so that's why I'm here. And they're going to tell Katie's story. And, the demeanor changed a little bit. And he stood up this time. He wasn't just sitting. He stood up. He sort of at least unlike what J.B. Pritzker did, he acknowledged and again, he seemed like a nice enough guy. I don't really know him other than, those 5 minutes we spoke. But he seemed nice enough, maybe not my cup of tea, but he seemed like a nice enough guy. But his demeanor did change. You could see this is, I got to see this guy tomorrow and get grilled by the committee.
Did his face drop?
Yeah, I think it was his demeanor changed a little bit
Mr. Enthusiastic to not so much. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know I caught him. And I wasn't rude or I didn't. I'm not like these people on the, you see on TV that are just crazy. Cause maybe my wife's saying, she's like, that was very, you were very respectful and nice. That was good because you don't need to be like these maniacs on the street in everyone's face. I know I lost my daughter, but I'm not going to be a jerk. And that's why I wanted to talk to the Democratic side. I wanted anyone to talk to me, tell me, help me understand what I'm missing. So at least I know my daughter didn't die in vain. Tell me why it's okay that my daughter's dead. Because why? Help me understand. Because I can't. I still can't reconcile why she's dead because of these policies. But someone on that side, I was hoping would at least explain to me this is why, this is happening, and it's for the greater good, and just kind of go with it, right? But I didn't get one word or acknowledgement from that side at all.
Can't get through anything to these people. And as far as Governor Walz, I mean, here's a guy who went hunting with a fancy shotgun and he didn't even know how to load it, so you can't, how are you gonna talk to a guy like that? I don't know.
You think he practiced that a little bit, right, before he got on TV?
Yes, several thousand dollar shotgun and you know, that's why my dad, when he would take us hunting, he just used a double barrel Stevens. You know, real easy to load.
Yeah, don't overcomplicate things.
Right, but, yeah. Exactly. It was about 50 pounds to lift it. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So all in all, yeah, just it was a, but you know, I have to say, meeting with, so we were invited to the White House as well. Donald, I don't know if you've seen the video, but Donald Trump acknowledged Katie, and you know, and you know, folks have been telling me, well, you're just being used by an authoritarian regime, and
who my told point you that? Was,
well, just you know, I'm not going to name name, but you know, folks say, well, you got to you know, be careful with Donald. And I said, well, you can say whatever you want with Donald Trump, and I'm sure you're going to vote for J.B. Pritzker, but
of course,
you know, Donald Trump, at least. I could say, look, he may be leveraging me, fine, okay, if we agree with that, but I'm also leveraging him. He should tell that story. He should let people know that there are real consequences to some of these policies that don't have to be this way. You can still get to your achieved goal of helping people and being the right country of the world and not have a Wild West. You can have both. So the false choice they try to provide to you is not okay. And so at the end of the day, he called me up on stage. I had a picture of Katie and I, and he pulled me up on stage. He said a few nice words. He wanted to take the picture. He held it up. A lot of the things he didn't have to do, right? I was there. He could have just told the story and let it alone, but he did other things. And when you talk to him outside of the camera, when the cameras are off, he seems like a genuine, nice enough guy. Again, I mean, I'll talk to everybody and anybody that. And again, it would have been nice to hear on the other side tell me why things are okay, because I'm hearing this, and it just doesn't connect. So
what he did was, he acknowledged her life. He acknowledged that she lived, that she was something important.
Yes, and she was.
And Pritzker could have done that. Jan Schakowsky and the Democrats could have done that. Chuy Garcia could have done that. How many others were there? All the Illinois delegation, I'm sure that weasel, Quigley could have done that. All of them.
Mary Miller took an interest, which I appreciated. And she, again, you know, she sort of.
That was pretty.
She
was pretty hard on Pritzker.
Yeah,
Mary Miller.
She was very touched. I mean, again, genuine. I don't really know Mary Miller all that, because she's not in my area. She's down south, like in there. I know Urbana is part of her, you know, where Katie was killed. But she seemed very genuine. She seemed very moved. She seemed very emotional about what's happening, and not only to Katie, but others, and how things have gotten so out of control. And how are we going to bring this back in this state, you know, with these politicians? It's that frustration, like we've already crossed some kind of line, and I don't think we can ever get back. So you could sense she had this like empathy and frustration and you know, interest where you know, no one else on the other side. And it's unfortunate. I want to talk to them. I want to know, right? Tell me, please, I'm missing something. I'm sure I have to be missing something. But I get silence. It's nothing. It's just, I think they just hope it goes away.
It's really hard to fill, because they played Russian roulette with your child. And who lost? Your child lost. And who won this Russian roulette? They did, because of power. That's all they want.
I hope it's more than that. I want someone to tell me it's more than that. If they knew Katie, they wouldn't accept it. Katie was such a bright light. She was such a personality. She would have been so great. I mean, to not ever see what she was going to become is just gut-wrenching every day. Every day is a gut-wrenching battle. So it's too bad that they don't know, you know, they don't know the real impact. And it's their loss too. She would have been perfect for this state, but you know,
they have locked the gates of hell for themselves, and they don't know that they've done it, but they've done it. Joe Abram, thanks so much for sharing Katie's story with us and our listeners.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
No, I thank you guys for sure, and keep fighting the good fight.
It's all about power. And we just have to face up to it. It's all about power, and what are we going to do? What are our obligations to the rest, to the living? To acknowledge the truth and to move on. But there's people that can't move on. They're the people like Joe Abram and his family. And we just go on with our blah, blah, blah in the news and punditry, and somebody writes a cute column and we turn the page, but there's no turning the page for Joe Abram and his family mourning the loss of their daughter, Katie. For Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, and for me, John Cass of John Cass News. I really don't like writing or dealing with stories like this, but what keeps me going on it is that for all the sound of the barking dogs of politics, there are people like Joe Abram who are silent, who are grieving, and we just have to acknowledge them too, don't we? We'll talk to you again next time on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.